Hello, I'm Hugo Disler from Farming Circuits. We have the pleasure to have online Monique Burke and Alan Broughton. This is a conversation that we're going to have with Alan and Monique, because we did send you farmers out the DVD on the Victorian Farmers Market Association. We thought it was so fairly complete, or pretty well complete, and we want farmers to look at other options if they need them, rather than taking off farm work, or to capitalise on their the produce they make. So Monique, would you like to introduce yourself?
Sure. So my name's Monique. I am currently employed by Australia Post, and I work on their online farmers market, which is www.farmhousedirect.com.au. I have quite a bit of experience in the organic industry prior to this, but I've now been working with Australia Post for the last year and a half.
Wonderful, Monique. Now, Alan, would you like to introduce yourself?
Yes, Alan Broughton. I teach an organic farming diploma course at Advanced TAFE in East Gippsland in Victoria. I have classes that go once a week in sale, and I also have online students. At the same time, I work on a certified organic farm on the edge of Lake Wellington, and I am Vice President of the Organic Agriculture Association, which is based in Bairnsdale, Victoria.
Thank you, Alan. Alan, one of the things you into this, we sent part of the seed bed from which, where you had a report, and I think the report said rural decline. Yeah, it was had a rural decline. And would you like to comment on that point and, on that particular article?
Well, rural decline is a worldwide phenomenon. It's not just applicable to Australia. If you look at the figures going over the last 50, 80 years, it shows that there has been a very, very significant decline in the proportion of what a farmer produces that actually goes back to the farmer. The difference goes to processors, retailers, wholesalers, various traders. They're the ones who make money out of agriculture, not the farmers themselves. So in that article, I suggested ways in which farmers can improve their terms of trade and become more economically sustainable. And, of course, to become economically sustainable, you also have to become more environmentally sustainable. Now, I can... Do you want me to go on here about...
Yes, please. Yes, please.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'd like to divide the things that are necessary, I think, for farmers to reach economic security. I'd like to divide that up into three different sections. One is the individual actions that farmers can take. Another one is the group actions at a local or sort of a bit wider than local level. And then the third one is the national and international changes that are necessary in order for farmers to become genuinely secure in and get paid adequately for the work that they do. So for the first one, for the individual actions, farmers markets is one, and farmers markets can be a very important one. It's applicable mainly to fruit and vegetables, but there are some people who are doing processed products and doing meats. It's not really an option, I think, for a lot of grain growers or some of the other broadacre farmers. I know, especially with fruit and vegetable growers, they can get 5 to 10 times the price that they will be getting on the wholesale market, and that can make a phenomenal difference to their income levels. And farmers' markets have just become so popular, and many of them, especially in the urban areas, they're on a weekly basis. In my area, they're like in Bairnsdale, it's only once a month. But the people who produce for this farmer's market also produce for the Sale one and the Meetung one and Painesville one and various others around the district. So that is the advent of farmers' markets has really been a wonderful thing for a lot of farmers. Another option is farm gate sales. It also applies for fruit and vegetables. And you can have difficulties with shires about that, about signage and so forth. But generally, if you can get to comply with their pretty uninteresting rules sometimes, you can do quite well. It's interesting that I was talking to one person from up in the Wimmera in the northwest of Victoria several years ago, and he said people regard farm gates sales as a burden because you've got to be there all the time to be selling it. But he said that's not necessary, that most people are really honest, and the little bit you lose from people taking without paying is more than compensated by the time that you can spend doing other things. Other options are the boxed vegetable schemes, boxed fruit and vegetable schemes, which are also very popular, becoming much more so, both in country areas and in the cities. Another option is to sell directly to processors. And I know one organic grain farmer in the Western District of Victoria who grows about 15 to 20 different kinds of grains, small amounts of each, and he sells them directly to the organic processors that package them up. So he misses out on the profits that don't go to a middle person. They just it's just him and the processors involved. Another option is pick your own. And I know some organic farmers do quite well out of that too. They have losses because the pickers can do some damage, especially with berries. They can eat quite a lot as they're going along. But overall, people often find it is quite worthwhile. I know some people who've dropped out of it altogether because they say there's just too much trouble with it. But anyway, it is an option for some people. Another option is on-farm processing, making jams, packaging up yourself and selling them directly, making cheese. And there's been some very successful home cheese makers. And it's a bit of work. It's quite a bit of expense getting set up too, because you've got to comply with all the dairy regulations. But if you can do that, there's quite a good demand for that. There's also quite a few meat people now who, you know, they grow their own beef, they get it slaughtered at a certified organic abattoir, and they have their own packaging room, and they can sell it either directly to retailers or at farmers' markets. And there's some very successful people doing that too. I know where I work, our beef goes to another organic grower in South Gippsland, and he runs his own butcher's shop on the edge of Melbourne, and he has quite a lot of other outlets in Melbourne. Now, one other option, it's a really important one, and that is reducing inputs. So rather than going through the process of all this direct marketing and things, reducing the inputs can make a big difference too. And that implies going organic or biological. And you're depending on the soil biology, the biodiversity that you create, in order to get around the problem of pests, diseases and weeds and soil fertility. At the place where I work, our input costs are extremely low. Now, one aspect of that is and this is only applicable to livestock raising, and that is having a rotational grazing system. And I did, when I first started working at this place about 7 years ago, I tried all different kinds of inputs that organic and biological farmers use in order to improve the soil fertility in the pasture, and I found most of them were just quite ineffective. They might have worked on, say, an intensive vegetable farm where you can apply them every week or every fortnight, but you can't do that on large paddocks. What I found made the vast difference was having a sound rotational grazing system where your animals are in a paddock for 2 or 3 days. They move on and they don't come back until that grass is completely recovered, which in some paddocks might be 2, 3, 6 months, even up to a year. And that's what makes the vast difference in soil fertility and in pasture quality. Weeds like capeweed just disappear, and the quality of the pasture is so much better. The root system is much deeper, so they're much more drought hardy. You get a lot more perennials. So I highly recommend a good, sound rotational grazing system, but don't put the animals back too early. So that deals broadly with the individual actions that farmers can take, and a lot of these are just not applicable to everybody, and they would not be applicable. I mean, if all of the farmers in Australia tried to do these marketing systems, it wouldn't work, because most consumers don't buy their produce that way. They buy their produce through supermarkets and other retail outlets. So the second way that farmers can make a difference is by getting together with other farmers and organising. And just in the last few years, there have been large numbers of cooperatives set up, and some of these have been extremely successful. The one that I've been involved in, that I know most about, is the Organic Dairy Farmers of Australia Cooperative, which has its base in Warrigal in Western Gippsland. And it's got only about 20, 25 supplier members scattered mainly throughout Victoria in the dairying areas. There could be some interstate ones, although it is a national body. Now, these farmers control that organisation. They set the prices that they receive. They organise their own markets, so they develop contracts with various processors for fresh milk, for cheese, for yoghurt, for powdered milk, which they export to several countries in Asia. And it's just been a phenomenally successful system for these farmers. Their standard of living is just gone up so much. I've heard recently about some grain cooperatives that have started to be formed. One of them is the Bort Grain Cooperative in the Mallee in Victoria. Another one is the Moolamine one in the Riverina in New South Wales. And I think there are several others too. As far as I know, they're not set up for marketing so much, but they are set up for receiving and storing grain, and that can reduce the costs quite considerably.
Alan, do they go for organic growers, or can be any growers?
Oh, any growers, yes. Those ones are not specific. There is another specifically organic one that I have come across, and that's it's based in Western Australia among beef producers. I actually can't find its name, but it's apparently been very successful too. It's something I think we need here in Victoria. Now, just in very recent times in the Goulburn Valley in Victoria, and this has occurred in other fruit and vegetable growing areas, farmers are just they're losing out because of competition from cheap imports. And A Goulburn Valley cooperative, food cooperative, has been formed, and this was in response to the closure of the Heinz factory at Kyabram. But now there's been a lot of cutbacks in the canned fruit industry too. The SBC and Admona factories are reducing their intake of fruit considerably. So farmers up there have formed this cooperative. They're setting up their own processing factory. Initially it was for tomatoes, but it's quite possible that they might branch out into other things too now that the there's such a problem with the SBC in Admona, which are owned by Coca-Cola, Amatil. Another example of farmers getting together, this happened several years ago in Tasmania when the potato growers who were supplying Simplot were faced with the prospect of Simplot reducing the price that they paid for the potatoes, saying we can just get them cheaper from New Zealand or China or somewhere. Anyway, those farmers got together and they refused to supply until the Simplot agreed to pay a higher price. That was very successful in the short term, and it lasted for several years, but apparently now Simplot has just cut them off pretty well altogether, and they're just importing their produce. There's probably other ways that farmers can work together in cooperatives. In some other countries, there are land-owning cooperatives, and so the farmers are actually working together, doing everything in a cooperative. These have become very popular in some of the Latin American countries, particularly Venezuela and Cuba, where there's been massive land redistribution, and that land is mostly being worked by cooperatives. So some of them might have 10 families in, others might have 150 families in. And at this stage, anyway, they're being very, very successful. Whether that's applicable here, I don't know. Possibly not, although it does work in Aboriginal communities. There's some cooperatively owned and run grazing properties up in the Kimberley that I know of. So if Aborigines can do it, then perhaps other farmers can do it too. Now that takes us to the third thing that's really necessary for farmers to become economically sustainable, and that is major changes in government policy. Now these changes need to be in trade policy. Farmers here should not be forced to compete with low-cost imports, which are often heavily subsidised. And this is what's destroying the fruit and vegetable processing industries in Australia. But at the same time, free trade adversely affects people in other countries too. For instance, we can't morally object to cheap imports coming into Australia when Australia is campaigning vigorously for free trade agreements with other countries, for instance, China and Japan and Korea, which will destroy the beef industries in those countries. So we need international action. Now, there are 8 countries in the Caribbean and Latin American countries which have formed a trading bloc called ALBA. And in this trading bloc, their philosophy is that trade has to be to mutual advantage, which means that one country can't dominate the market with another country at the expense of the farmers in that country. The system was set up by Venezuela and Cuba, but quite a lot of other countries have joined in now too. And this has been a great advantage to those countries. It means that they can just get out of the World Trade Organization, which is dominated by the big corporations, mainly based in the United States, the grain corporations, the various different commodity traders who want free trade for their own interest, and it is generally not in the interests of farmers. For instance, when the North American Free Trade Agreement was formed, it destroyed the corn growing industry in Mexico because all this subsidized corn from the United States was being dumped on the Mexican market. 100,000 farmers lost their livelihood through that. Now, any trade agreements must take into account the harm, the potential harm that is done to victims in other countries. There's another example of government policy is on regulation and deregulation. The deregulation of the dairy industry in Australia was extremely detrimental to quite a few dairy farmers, particularly in New South Wales and Queensland. There's so many went out of business through that. Another place for government policy change is on country of origin labelling. Most consumers actually do want to support Australian farmers and they do want to buy Australian produce, but the labelling system is so vague and imprecise that they're unable to do that. If you look at many processed products, it just says on the label, made from imported and local produce, or it might say processed in Australia or something like that, or just imported, but it doesn't actually tell you where the product comes from in the first place. Another avenue for changes in government policy is to break up supermarkets so that supermarkets do not have that massive power to reduce the prices that farmers receive. This is not something that governments are interested in. They want the free market, which is free for those who are benefiting from it. It's not free for the farmers who are supplying them. Now, how can you get changes in government policy? There's a problem that a lot of the farmer organisations, like the National Farmers Federation, the VFF, and so on, their agenda is free trade, deregulation, which is basically mimicking government policies. And that might be in the interests of some of the bigger farmers, but it's not in the interests of the majority of farmers. Recently, just last month, there was a big conference in Jakarta of an organisation called La Via Campesina, which means the farmer's way. La Via Campesina is an international organisation that has it has 160 organisations affiliated to it in 80 countries. And in those organisations, they are representing 200 million members. So it is a massive organisation. It started in Belgium. That's when the first meeting was, in 1993, I think. And it's just blossomed ever since. However, of those 80 countries that have organisations affiliated to it, Australia is not included. There is a move at the moment to set up an Australian branch of La Via Campesina in order to represent on the international stage the interests of Australian small farmers, family farmers. So it'll be a really good thing when that happens. Now, La Via Campesina has some quite radical policies. One is that countries should get out of the World Trade Organization. Another one is that social justice is really important, and that means a social justice for farm workers too, not just for the farmers themselves, but workers have to be properly treated. They have to have adequate wages. They have to have education for their children. They have to have health care. And the same applies for tenant farmers. And the same applies for Indigenous people too. Now, I know there are some farmer organisations in Australia that have started up that are campaigning for the same sort of things. I mean, campaigning for free, for fair trade, and campaigning against deregulation, but they're also campaigning against against native title, and they're also campaigning against environmental controls. Now, La Via Campesina includes social justice, which means the rights of Indigenous people are included in that, and environmental justice is included in that. So the environment is protected, and agriculture is, their policy is agroecology, which you can call it by other names, but it means biological farming, organic farming, and those sorts of things. And it is against the interests of the big corporations. It's taking back control over food production and marketing from those big corporations. So it would be very good if that sort of organisation can be founded here and can actually start to have an influence. Okay, I'd let someone else have a go now. I can answer any questions or, I'll let someone else speak.
Yeah, we'll let Monique come in now, because Monique, since we recorded you at Voice, that's the Victorian Organic Industry Committee's thing of February. Is that right? Is that what it is?
Yeah, that's right. That was actually
February 2012.
Yeah.
Yes, you say a few things have changed. Now, can you give us a bit of a background on, just tell us what's relevant.
Okay, great. So for those who have watched that presentation at Voice, I also volunteer with Voice, the Victorian Organic Industry Committee. So in February 2012, we literally had just opened Farmhouse Direct for calling for interest from producers. A couple of months after that, in April 2012, I think it was, the end of April 2012, we actually launched officially with 40 producers, and the shop was open, basically. We were open for business, and end consumers could purchase from all the producers who were on Farmhouse Direct. Today, we're actually at just over 190 producers, and we're national now. So when we first started talking to you, we were really looking for Victorian producers, just as a starting point. But we soon realised when we were communicating with all the producers that state boundaries don't mean anything, and the Bush Telegraph was in full swing, and if you knew someone in country New South Wales who was interested in joining, well, there was no reason why they shouldn't. So we've now got representatives in all states. We currently don't have anyone in the territory, so if anyone knows someone who wants to sell something, please let us know. But we have all states represented. And we have customers all around the country purchasing from producers in all those states. So we have made some massive advances, basically, in the last year, and it's a really exciting place to be in. But I thought what I maybe should do as well is actually just talk about the Farmhouse Direct model, just to clarify. Now, Alan did mention a few different options that are out there at the moment in the market, and we are slightly different. We certainly like to think we're quite unique. And what the difference is that we are basically an online farmer's market. So just like a physical farmer's market, where a farmer comes to the marketplace and sets up their stall and sells directly with the customer and transacts financially directly with the customer, that is exactly what we are online. So it is the farmer simply registers with, or the producer simply registers with Farmhouse Direct. We have a set of criteria that people must meet in order to trade on Farmhouse Direct. And in a nutshell, what that is we are looking for Australian growers and producers, so people who either grow or hand make their own quality products from Australian sourced ingredients. People must not be a reseller or a wholesaler, and you have to adhere to all the relevant health and food safety laws and regulations in relation to your particular produce. So what we're really trying to do is make sure that it is the farmer or the producer that is benefiting from the sale on Farmhouse Direct. And what we want our end consumers to benefit from is that they know that they're actually purchasing directly from the grower and or producer, so the person who either grew that product or made that product, and that it's from Australian ingredients. So the model is, it's a direct model of producer to consumer. So the producer has complete control in relation to what they list on the site, and they also, and when I say that, I mean what products they can list on the site. So we've spoken to different producers over the last year or so, and they've informed us that that they couldn't they either couldn't sell a particular fruit or vegetable to through the regular channels because no one had an interest in it, or they were told by the stocks at the channel because they were told that there was no interest in that particular product. But they can sell that on Farmhouse Direct. They can sell whatever they like as long as they grow and make it. And then they have complete control over the price. So it's up to them to set their price. And as Alan mentioned, we're cutting out all the middlemen, and literally it's, the money is going directly into their pocket, which is fantastic. At this point in time, I guess just to go back to sort of where are we at now? So 190 producers, we've got over 2,150 Australian grown and made products online.
How many products have you got?
Over 2,150.
Different products.
And products, yep.
Yeah, products.
Yeah, that's right. And so they range from, we've got I'll list some of our categories. So we've got bakery, we've got breakfast cereals, cheese and dairy, cordials and beverages, we've got a pets category, garlic, honey, oil and vinegar, sauces and condiments. We've got a bath and body range. We found that a lot of olive oil producers were developing, had their own soaps and body care. We've got butchers, which is really meat. And in the meat category, we've got venison, lamb, beef, goat, pork. Yeah, we've got quite a range. Chocolates and sweets. We've got people who produce edible gardens. So we've now got everything from, set up your own herb garden, purchase these seedlings or bare root rhubarb. We've got gifts, we've got jams and preserves, olives and antipasto, wine, liqueurs, cakes, puddings, coffee, tea. All the coffee on the site has to be Australian grown, so no imported coffee. Fresh fruit and veg, herbs, spices, nuts. And we've got rice and grains as well, so legumes and lentils and bits and pieces like that. So we've got a really extensive range of product now. And depending, the only limitation there is the producers have to stick to quarantine laws. So there's certain destinations that people can send their products, especially much more important when it's fresh fruit and vegetables as well. So certain producers can only sell, persimmons in WA can only be sold within WA, but persimmons elsewhere can be sold perhaps to a couple of different states based on what the restrictions are on that particular growing area. which also opens up a whole lot of opportunity for producers. So initially people were like, oh, you've already got a few citrus producers, but it doesn't matter. I mean, there's demand for citrus producers around the country. And so just because we have one in SA and one in New South Wales doesn't mean that they can supply to Tasmania or WA. So there's a whole lot of opportunity for multiple producers in many different states. So what else can I tell you? I guess we can continue with stats. So at the moment we're averaging about 16,000 unique visitors to the site each month. And that again is nationally. We have thousands of newsletter people signed up to our regular newsletters that we send out on a weekly basis. We've got over 10,000 people on Facebook, a couple of thousand on Twitter. We really, really heavily use the social media channels as well. So we have, you know, tens of thousands of eyes on all of these products on Farmhouse Direct on a regular basis. And I guess that's one of the biggest benefits of Farmhouse Direct is the fact that we are a centralised marketplace, which is run by Australia Post, with a regular marketing and PR campaign going on nationally. So we are continually driving traffic to come and view and purchase from these 190 producers and, you know, select from their range of 2,000 plus products. One of the other benefits to producers who sign up for Farmhouse Direct is the preferential postage rate. And that is that they get, there are three flat rate boxes and they are roughly of a size of sort of a B5 and an A4 and an A3 size. And you can send up to 15 kilograms of product around the country for a set price. So just as an example, the A3 size box, the large, if you like, holds up to around about 10 kilograms of potatoes in that box. We also offer for producers who perhaps have a different box size that doesn't, or a product that won't work in those boxes, like, for example, wineries. So they'll have their own, half dozen or dozen boxes, bottled boxes. And what we offer them is a 20% discount on standard rate cards around the country. So it's some of the best rates available in the country that are provided to the producers on Farmhouse Direct.
That sounds excellent. It's such a wonderful system. So do people approach individual producers and so they might be receiving half a dozen boxes per week or something like that?
Yes, that's absolutely right. So there is no aggregation of products on Farmhouse Direct because it is a direct relationship between the producer and the customer. So, for example, last week I ordered dried persimmons from one farmer in New South Wales. I ordered rice also from another farmer in New South Wales, and then I ordered muesli from a producer in Melbourne. So I received three packages on my doorstep with my bulk orders of muesli, rice and dried persimmons that stocked up the pantry. But, yes, that's right. So you will receive separate boxes. Literally the farmers are packing it on the farm and driving it to their local post office and dropping it off.
There's no requirement that it be organic?
No, there is no requirement for organic at this point in time. What I would say, though, is the last time we counted it, we had roughly about 30% of the product available on Farmhouse Direct was either certified organic or contained certified organic ingredients.
Yeah.
So, look, with the model and the offering, I think naturally we attract a lot, you know, we are targeting micro, small and medium producers, and within that arena, there are a number of organic and biodynamic or biological farmers and or lower input farmers, if you like, and also a number of the I would say that a number of the organic or biodynamic producers are really looking for different marketing, you know, opportunities and looking for different channels to market. So they're aware, they want to get the, you know, they want to get a full price for their product that they're selling.
Yes. Yes, that's excellent. Well, another option for direct selling that I didn't mention before is various food cooperatives. And there's one, for instance, in Bairnsdale, the Steiner Food Cooperative. And
yep.
It's only got about 15 or so members, but it's a system where, you know, some produce comes direct from farmers and some actually comes from the wholesale market. But it means that people get this this produce fresh every week.
Yeah, that's right. So we're at this point in time, we're trialling a few different things through Farmhouse Direct. And we work extremely close with a selection of our producers, and you know, anyone who comes on board who's super enthusiastic and wants to work with us, obviously they're more than welcome to. I mean, because the whole thing is the more successful this is for the producers, you know, the more successful it is long term for Australia Post as well. So the model that is currently online, we've been through some massive sort of upgrading, if you like, and redevelopment over the last year since we first spoke at Voice. And it really has been with including a whole lot of feedback from the producers. I mean, simple things like making sure that the website accounted for when people weren't available. You know, they're on school holidays. So we've got a switch so you can turn your stall off and send a message to all your customers saying, you know, we're not available at the moment, but we'll be back in 2 weeks' time. Simple things, but other more advanced things that we're actually working on now is what we want to do is we've had quite a few inquiries from business. So, and when I say business, like cafes and restaurants, people who actually want to supply local or organic or, you know, purely Australian product. And they want to concentrate on running their cafe or restaurant, and they don't have time to go and supply, you know, to source local or Australian producers or organic producers. So we are trialling with a couple of, businesses or retailers wholesaling through Farmhouse Direct. So we're connecting producers to businesses. And that's a really exciting model, and I think that there's a lot of scope there for, you know, promoting Australian produce and connecting people who perhaps are small, micro, small and medium businesses, both in the production sense and in the retail sense. So making that connection, if we can help make that connection in the middle, then it's win-win for everybody as well.
Are some of these farmers selling only through this system, or do they have their other markets that they set up earlier?
Yes,
like for instance, a lot of people who are selling at farmers' markets, they still send stuff to the wholesale markets as well.
Yes,
so is that the case?
Yes, that's right. So at the moment, we have an entire mix of there's people are using Farmhouse Direct in many different ways. So people who have larger production definitely still use this. They have multiple channels to market. And we really suggest that Farmhouse Direct should be considered as one option within your marketing mix, if you like. So a number of people, you know, they do sell wholesale, they do go to the farmers markets, and they sell through Farmhouse Direct. But what they're using is Farmhouse Direct is their 24/7 model, if you like, that's available, that's just working for them all the time. So we have found that there are quite a few producers have approached us now. They want to actually decommission their own websites so that they don't have to manage another channel and just utilise the Farmhouse Direct model to sell any product online. So, because one of the benefits, really, another benefit of Farmhouse Direct is you don't have to keep your, you know, you're not having to keep on top of, you know, a web developer to make sure that your website's up to scratch. You're not managing online security. You're not having to apply for merchant bank accounts so that you can, transact online and process credit cards online. You know, you don't have to worry. You don't have to manage pay fees for a payment gateway. You know, that whole package of transacting online is wrapped up and delivered to you for free, really, with Farmhouse Direct. So it's free to set up your stall on Farmhouse Direct, and it's free to list all of your products on Farmhouse Direct. It's a pay on success model. So when you do sell, it's a 7.5% commission. But having spoken with a lot of different producers and worked out what their cost of listing, ad natural, or paying to attend a market, driving, fuel, overheads, etc., how much you sell at a market, it's a pretty good option for 7.5%.
Monique, we've had a couple of questions, but we have answered them. We might as well repeat them again. What happens with the delivery fee when someone orders from more than one supplier?
So that's right. There is a separate fee for each producer because there is literally an item being sent from different locations. So.
And the same sort of question again is, if a customer orders from more than one supplier, how does the postage get charged? Well, it's
That's right. So, that is similar. And, yes, it is a similar question, but I understand people's different perspectives. Yes, they are charged multiple fees.
Right. A question for myself. How does a producer register with Farmhouse Direct?
They simply go onto farmhousedirect.com.au, and down in the footer there is a section called Sell, and you'll see there's a producer registration link there. The other thing we do provide for producers is there's a whole section called Sell with Farmhouse Direct. Not all of that is available to just public visitors to the site. I think there's probably, let's say, about one-fifth of it is available for viewing externally. But once you register, there's a huge guide there that literally takes you through step-by-step all of the tips and tricks to online selling. So it's, how to take good photographs, how to write a description, how to, ideas for pricing and bundling your products for selling online. We really have provided a really extensive guide to try and make it as easy as possible for producers to succeed in selling online.
Now, I'm going to ask you a good question, I think.
Okay.
two questions. The suppliers, are they happy with Farmhouse Direct, and the buyers, are they doing repeat business with the suppliers?
Yes. Yeah. Yes and yes. So to be perfectly honest, with producers on Farmhouse Direct, we have had a few people that it didn't work for, and that's fine. The model was never going to be something that worked for absolutely everybody. Now, that might be because we've had the primary one was and when I say it didn't work for a couple of people, I literally mean we've had about, I'd say, four people who have voluntarily removed themselves from the site, and that was it. And most of them is due to the fact that they're just not online people. They thought they wanted to get involved in online selling, but actually they don't spend any time in the office, they don't spend any time on the computer, and they've got no interest in it really, and they're quite happy with their, they go to one or two markets, and it's more of a hobby now. What they're doing, they're more sort of hobby farmers, and they sell a bit at market, so it's not really for them. And so that's kind of it. But generally, and then in relation to success on Farmhouse Direct, we've got some people who've been extremely successful, and then others who, sell a bit now and then, and perhaps when there's big promotions on. It really is all to do with how you sell yourself online. There's images is extremely important. Very clear descriptions about what you're selling is extremely important. Keeping your information up to date. And good pricing. So, you know, it is an education process about, we do work with producers about how to actually sell their, you know, how to price their products online. One of the key things with selling online is people that love free shipping and they love free delivery. They don't want any hidden surprises with costs when they go to checkout. So we encourage people to bundle their products so that people can buy a selection of goods from a particular producer. Now, having said that, we encourage producers to do that. They'll put one or two or three bundles together. Then, of course, the very fussy online customer comes online and they're like, oh, I really like that bundle, but actually I'm going to make my own selection from all of their individually available products. And then they put their own little bundles together and pay for the shipping and check out anyway. But, you know, it's all about how you pitch what you have available online to the consumer. And we send out regular emails and we regularly review the site and contact producers to try and make their stall and products as appealing as possible. It's a bit of what you put into it, you get out as well, if you know what I mean. If you really want to make this channel work for you, we're here to help you and we'll do anything to make you a success. And, you know, some people, you know, some of our most successful people, like potatoes and, tea and bread, you know, people initially, we got quite a bit of flack with, you know, even one person in the media said, well, why would I buy bread online? Why do I want day old bread? But actually, people love it. It's bread that lasts for far more than a day anyway. They're very happy, you know, they're excited, their bread gets baked on a Tuesday afternoon, it's mailed out to them express post and they receive it the next morning. So, you know, it works very well for them. So, in relation to customers, we have a huge repeat business. I don't know what the figure is right now, but last time I did do a review of this, we were up around about the 10% mark of repeat purchasing, if not higher, I think. So we do have a huge amount of repeat business.
Great. Well, we're getting close to closing off. We try to keep this thing to an hour. We've still got plenty of time. So, Monique, would you like to sum up what you know, the Farmhouse Direct thing, and yeah, can you? Would you like to sum up or your final
words?
Yeah,
sure. I think you know, we would like to encourage Australian farmers and producers to register. We think that we offer an extremely solid alternative selling method in Australia currently. So, and you know, you couldn't possibly get a better union really of the company that provides the logistics and therefore provides preferential postage rates and support and connecting with farmers all around Australia. I just think it's such a win-win solution. I encourage everybody to get involved and let's make it work for everyone.
And what is the contact details? We've said it, but let's say it again.
Yep, so the all of the information is on farmhousedirect.com.au. And if you want to register, please go to the footer. There is a link called Producer Registration. And if you have any general inquiries, please contact us at support@farmhousedirect.com.au.
Fantastic. Now, Alan, we've still got plenty of time. Thank you very, very much, Monique. Don't go away.
Sure.
Alan, what would you like to sum up or what's some key points? Because the way I see it, farmers are being rorted in so many different ways. And I just looked at that website that you were talking about, that La Via
Campesina.
Can you say that word properly so farmers get it?
Yeah, La Via Campesina.
Yeah, and they're talking about land grab and water grab, and it's happening in Australia right under the farmers' noses.
Well, it
I'm
is,
not expecting
yeah.
you to go down. I'm not expecting you to comment on that, but would you like to sort of, you know, have it sum up and say what you think's appropriate to say?
Well, I think that farmers are starting to resist this corporate control, and I think it is an excellent development. The people getting their own marketing systems, getting together to do group marketing and group processing and that sort of thing, and also trying to get changes in government policy. I think the neoliberal era is sort of starting to draw to a close because, you know, there's just so many people who are badly affected by it. So I think there is future in farming, and I hope that this long-term decline in the numbers of farmers is going to be reversed, and that farming can again become something that provides a good income, and it has the prestige and social respect that it deserves.
That is so true. Remember Pete Andrews saying that in 1950, farmers were the wealthiest, or not the wealthiest, the most important people in our society. Well, although they are the most important, they're certainly not ranked as the most important now.
That's right, and for the amount of work that they do, they just don't get compensated. You know, the successful farmers are those who've got partners who work outside the farm, and that shouldn't need to be the case.
No, well, that's the idea of having Monique and yourself online now, because we just wanted to add to that Victorian Farmers Market DVD that we sent out, which was pretty complete, and having the two of you online is quite appropriate to have farmers realise that they have got options. It's downside better than you know, going and driving the school bus for extra money.
Yeah, absolutely. We should also mention that we partnered with the Victorian Farmers Market Association, and do work with them very closely. So I would say at least sort of 35% of our producers would be BFMA.
Well, on that note, Alan, would you like to have a parting word? And and Monique, would you like to have a parting word as we go?
I just say that I'm optimistic about the future, and I think there is a good future in farming for people, as long as they try and get out of that system that is exploiting them so much. And also, we have to consider farmers in other parts of the world, all over the world. We shouldn't be competing one country against another. We should all be united against the big enemy, and that's corporate control of food processing and marketing and seed production and pesticides and fertilizers, all that sort of thing, to get out of that system as much as we can.
Thank you very much, Alan. On that note, I'd like to thank you very, very much, Alan Broughton, and very much thank you, Monique Burke, for coming online. And I'm sure this will give farmers a lot of food for thought, and have farmers exercise their mind as what is possible in farming if they need additional income or just get more for their produce.
Yes.
So thank you very, very much.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Oh, it's our pleasure. So thank you very much. Now, goodbye to everyone, and goodbye to the farmers who are listening.
Okay, thank you.
Bye. Bye-bye.